back with Mike Meharry of the 10th Amendment Center on the other side of this break.
My grandpa taught me how to live off the land, and his taught him to be a businessman.
Welcome back to the Forgotten Men, the show that brings you people from the 10th Amendment Center. And doing just that, we are. We're bringing you our good friend, Mike Meharry, Director of Communications with the 10th Amendment Center. You can always get great information from their organization at 10thamendmentcenter.com. I always love having him on the show with us. Mike, thanks for joining us, man. You're going to have to kill Mark. Oh. Mike, thanks for joining us, brother.
Oh, you guys disappeared for a minute. I thought I got dropped.
No. It's the way those... I told you ahead of time. It's the way the phone lines have been working here. The second line just doesn't come in properly.
But, it was funny. I didn't realize until the intro music was playing that we had you call in yet again at 12:30.
With Hank Williams.
Isn't that pretty much... This is like... Should be the Mike Meharry dedicated time slot.
Exactly.
We're just going to call you Bocephus from now on.
Even if some other guest is on, it's still the Mike Meharry Memorial. Well, I don't want to say memorial. It makes it sound like I'm dead.
But we don't want that. But seriously, I think you were on like 2 weeks in a row and at that spot. And this was going back maybe like a year. And then the next week, I just kind of looked at Scott and I'm like, where's Mike? He's supposed to be on now.
That's funny.
So what is going on with this Nullify NSA thing?
Well, this is some pretty exciting stuff. This is going to be one of our strong pushes, probably our most intense focus coming into this next legislative session. And Off Now is actually a coalition that we are developing along with several other groups, including the Bill of Rights Defense Committee, the Downsize DC, state groups. I think Gun Owners of America are coming on board. So we have a broad-based political coalition that is focused on let's do something about this NSA spying. And I think it's important for people to first understand that if you're going to wait for Congress to fix this problem, you're going to be waiting a long, long time. They're not going to do anything about this. They'll have some grandstanding, and I'm sure they'll have some hearings, and they'll come up with some bad legislation that doesn't really do anything.
Well, it'll actually embolden it. It'll actually embolden it more. I mean, at the end of the day, we all know DC will never fix DC, and there's been individuals on both sides of the aisle who have done nothing but support the actions of the NSA.
Exactly. And here's the biggest problem. You've got Dianne Feinstein. She's the Senate Chair of the Selecting Committee on Intelligence. Everything has to go through her, and she's a big fan of the NSA. And, you know, she's come up with a quote-unquote reform bill, and I was reading an article in The Guardian about it the other day, and essentially it actually makes things worse. It takes some of these oversteps and constitutional violations that we've learned about through Snowden's releases and actually codified them into law. So, again, we're not going to count on D.C. We're not going to wait for D.C. We're going to take action at the state level. Now, this kind of blows people's minds a little bit because people think, well, what can the state do about the NSA? And that is the beauty of this. There are things the states can do. And so we've developed this coalition, Off Now. You can go to offnow.org and learn more about it. And essentially what we're doing is we're coming up with a multi-pronged strategy to deal with NSA through our state and local governments. And the first step that we're taking is we've developed a piece of legislation called the Fourth Amendment Protection Act. And essentially, this piece of legislation addresses four different areas and does four different things. I'm going to run through them real quick.
Great.
Number one, it deals with resources. It would prohibit any material help from the state or local governments to the NSA. Now, people will think, well, so what? Well, here's the deal. NSA data center in Utah uses 1.7 million gallons of water every single day to cool its spy computers. That water is supplied by a political subdivision of the state of Utah. The state of Utah can say, we're not going to supply that water anymore and turn it off. No water, you've got overheated supercomputers. So that's the type of focus that we're looking for in this first thing. Where the state or local governments are providing resources, simply cut them off. Second phase of it deals with data collection. We know that NSA has taken this data, it's gathered it unconstitutionally without a warrant. It then passes the data along to local law enforcement for like drug investigations and things like that. This bill would make it illegal to use any data that was collected unconstitutionally by the NSA. It would be inadmissible in a court of law. So basically it makes that data useless. Deal with the information sharing that's going on. Third phase of it deals with universities. Universities and NSA work very closely together, both in research and recruiting. There's 166 universities that have partnerships with the NSA right now. State-controlled universities can be dealt with through the state legislatures through funding. So essentially, if you're going to be a recruiting ground for the NSA, or if you're going to provide research to the NSA, we're going to cut your funding off. And then finally, the fourth piece of it deals with private corporations that do business with the NSA. It would essentially make it impossible for them to get contracts with state or local governments, and would de-incentivize to some degree partnering with the NSA. So that's the basic gist of this, or gist of this piece of legislation. And it's really just the first step in what we plan to have as a multi-pronged strategy to deal with the NSA.
Right. And you guys drafted this probably about a month and a half ago and have been trying to get it out in many different states, or is it primarily just focusing on Utah?
No, this is a nationwide campaign. We've spent most of the summer developing the legislation and working behind the scenes, developing a coalition. We actually went public, quote unquote, the second week of November. We've done kind of a media blitz, placing a lot of op-eds in different papers and whatnot. And our plan is to get this introduced in as many states as possible. So far, we are expecting at least 5 states to introduce this legislation. And in fact, Kansas, a legislator there has already introduced or at least made public a draft of a bill that he plans to introduce. It's not the whole thing, but it does deal with the data sharing aspect of it. So they're going to take that one piece and work at that angle. But we do have a legislator in Utah that has committed to run the bill. We've also got a pretty firm commitment from a legislator in Washington State, and they have a big listening center in that state. And then we have 3 or 4 other legislators who have made kind of soft promises and are looking at how they can get it drafted and implemented in their states. And I think there'll be more as the news about this gets around.
So, Mike, a quick question. I mean, I think I've seen a couple people make comments. Hey, if you cut off the water, the feds are just going to come in and take the thing over and turn the water back on. I mean, that's the kind of responses you sometimes see from people. What do you say to people who say, look, it doesn't matter, the feds are going to come in and just take it over if you do that?
Well, you know, to me that's like, it's almost an excuse not to do anything.
Yeah.
And it's rooted in fear. And you know what? Maybe they will, but you don't know that. You know, what if the Patriots during the Revolutionary era said, well, you know, if we try to keep them from confiscating our guns, they're just going to shoot at us and do it anyway. You know, let's just not do anything. You can't have that kind of attitude. That's the kind of attitude that's gotten us to the place where it is.
Well, Mike, I asked that question for a reason, because last night I was out in Allegheny College talking about the Western Maryland Initiative, and there was a couple people that said, look, you know, I would support this, but this has absolutely no chance, right? Why should we even try something that has no chance? And, you know, it's the same, it's the defeatist attitude of saying, it's almost like Buster Douglas getting in the ring with Mike Tyson. You know, he could have said, well, you have no chance of beating Mike Tyson. Well, guess what? He knocked out Tyson, right? So
exactly.
You just never know when it's going to work or not work. But the fact is, if you concede the ground before you even start the battle, you've lost, right?
Exactly. And here's the reality. We do know certain things. We do know that the federal government depends very much on state and local governments to help them implement all of their acts. We know this is a fact. We see it every day. Every DEA raid, you know, yesterday or day before yesterday, the feds decided they were going to flex their muscles in Colorado, and they raided about 12 medical marijuana clinics in the Denver area. And, of course, right there in the paper, it says, with the cooperation of local police. So they need that. And funny side note on that, you know, it sounds like, ooh, they raided 12. There's 400 just in Denver alone. I just wrote an article about this. People ought to check it out. The feds are not as mighty and great as everybody wants to think. And they use that kind of intimidation tactic to get people to back off. Well, you know, if you've got all of these states that are taking away resources and working to thwart this, it can be effective. we know it can be effective. And number two, it sends a powerful, strong message and lets them know that we, the people, aren't going to put up with this anymore, that we are going to step up and do something. We're not going to let them just run roughshod over us.
Absolutely. Well, let's kind of make sure everybody understands how they can get involved. It's offnow.org, 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 where you can get a bunch of information, including the model legislation, ways to take action. But can you talk to some of those ways that people can take action themselves?
Well, I think the most important thing that we need to do right now, two major steps. One, get this information out there. Post it on your Facebook pages. Send it out on your email lists. Blog it. We need people to know that this is out there. And don't be afraid to reach out beyond your normal, you know, political realm. We've got folks from the far left that are working with us on this. We've got some environmental groups that are on board in the coalition because mainly they're concerned about the amount of resources that are being used. This is not a left, right, or even liberty type of thing. This is something that all Americans should be concerned about. This is about our basic right to privacy and the basic protections that were provided by the Fourth Amendment. So everybody should get involved. We need to get this information out. Number two, get the model legislation. Call up your state senator or your state representative or both of them and tell them about this legislation. Tell them what we're looking to do and encourage them to introduce it. We really need the legislators to know that this is out there and that this is an option. I think those are the two biggest steps people can take. And, you know, really both of those things you can do in about 30 minutes. So it's not even a big time-consuming thing. But we really, really need people to get this information out, and we really, really need to get this in the minds of the legislators so that they know that we're doing this. I've talked to a bunch of legislators, and they're like, wow, this is awesome. I never imagined that we could do this. So I think it's going to be a pretty big push, and I'm pretty excited about it because I don't like the NSA, and I don't like being spied on.
Absolutely, and I think state legislators are finally starting to realize the power that they have.
They really are, and I want to kind of bunny trail if I've got time for a second here. And
yeah, let's do this, actually. Let's go grab a break. Do you mind hanging around for a little bit in the last segment?
Yeah, that'd be great. We'll do that because I want to tell people the legal basis for this so they don't think we're crazy.
Ah, sounds like a plan. All right, everybody, you heard him. Mike Meharry of the 10th Amendment Center talking about Nullify NSA. You can get information over at offnow.org. We're going to come back on the other side of this break and talk to the legal aspect of it. Stick around for more of The Forgotten Men.
Stand up for your right. Get up.
Stand up. Stand up for your rights.
Welcome back to The Forgotten Men, where we get up and stand up for your rights. You can call 301-694-9363. Join us over in the chat room at forgottenmen.com/chat. Talking with our good friend from the 10th Amendment Center, Mike Meharry, about Nullify NSA. Mike, you wanted to go ahead and get into the legal aspect of this and kind of build that case. Can you help us out with that?
Absolutely. People will hear something like this and say, well, the state can't do that. The state can't say we're not going to cooperate with the federal government. Well, actually, it can. There's nothing in the Constitution that says that the state or local governments have to cooperate with the federal government while they violate your rights. Or any other time, for that matter.
Actually, right. It doesn't even matter if they're violating your rights or not. The state governments are not responsible, and the local governments are not responsible for enforcing federal law. The federal government is.
Exactly. That, and bingo. And that's what this whole campaign is based on from a legal structure. Sometimes when you start talking about nullification and actual state interposition, you can run into this debate with lawyers about whether it's legitimate or not. But when it comes to not cooperating, when it comes to not providing resources from the state or local level, there is absolutely no argument that the federal government can't make them. So it kind of goes back to what Scott mentioned before. You know, well, the federal government will just take the water and use it anyway. Well, really, they can't. And this is established in Supreme Court case law going back all the way to 1842. And there's actually four specific cases that address this. And I'm not going to go through all of them. You can actually go to offnow.org and look it up, and you can see each of these cases. But the probably cornerstone case of this is Prince versus the United States, or a lot of listeners might know as the Sheriff Mack case. And essentially, the Supreme Court, even in their opinion, the federal government cannot commandeer state officers, they can't commandeer state resources in order to do their work. They have to do it themselves unless the states choose to cooperate. So essentially, what off now is suggesting that the state government should say to the NSA, as long as you're violating Americans' constitutional rights, as long as you're spying on Americans and grabbing data without a warrant, without any probable cause, we are not going to be complicit in that. We are not going to help you. And James Madison gave us this blueprint in Federalist 46. When the federal government does an unwarrantable act, he said even a warrantable act, he gave us a set of steps, and one of those steps was refusal to cooperate with officers of the Union. And Madison said that when states do this, it would create impediments and obstructions which the federal government would be hardly willing to endure. So we're going to take Madison's blueprint, and we're going to apply it here, and we're going to put some impediments and obstructions. And I'm not going to say that it's going to shut down NSA spying, but it sure as heck is going to send a message.
Yeah, and it's also going to cause some problems, in which it should.
And that's the idea. And then maybe it'll get the attention of the Congress critters in Washington, D.C.
Oh, yay. Well, you know what? At the end of the day, we have to stand up. We have to continue to say enough is enough, and this is how we do that. It's not by marching on D.C. It's not by going to congressional hearings and making our voices heard, from the gallery. It is by acting in the proper bucket of power, which is the state's power, to push back on the federal government when they are usurping power that they were never delegated.
Exactly. And, you know, Rosa Parks really inspires me. And she had the courage to say no to injustice. And, you know, she went to jail for it. And kind of going back to Scott's idea again, you know, at some point we have to be willing to stand up. I'm sure at that moment when she said no to that bus driver and when they put her in handcuffs and drug her off to jail, I'm sure she had no idea that moment was going to spark a movement that would ultimately kill Jim Crow. You know, her willingness to stand up started the Montgomery bus boycott, and the Montgomery bus boycott rose Martin Luther King to prominence. So you could very easily argue that her willingness to simply not give up that seat completely changed the fabric of the lives of black people in the South. So one little act can make such a huge difference. So maybe this will be the one little act that changes everything.
Who knows? And to Scott's, what he was saying before is, you know, we cannot have that defeatist attitude to say, well, it's too hard or it can't be done. Get up, stand up, act.
Right, exactly. Get up, stand up for your rights, like you said. But, you know, you use this all the time, Mike, and, you know, the Fugitive Slave Act is a great example, right? I mean, we're northern states to just roll over and say we're going to comply with this law, this fugitive slave law, and return blacks that have escaped. It could have been any black, actually, because the level of proof was almost non-existent.
Right.
So
negative.
Any black back to a southern a slave owner. And so this has happened throughout the history, the Alien and Sedition Acts. There's plenty of other examples of this, though. But, I mean, ultimately, the people need to understand they have this power. I mean, and until we get out of this mindset and this inside the box thinking that the only thing we can do is vote, I mean, that is the least of it in your civic duty. It's the last of your civic duties. You have hundreds of things to do before you even vote. But we got to get out of the mindset that the only thing we can do is vote.
Absolutely. So go to offnow.org, get that model legislation, download it, and send it to your state senator and your state representative, and then follow it up with the phone call. Even if you're close to your state capital, even ask for a meeting. Go talk to them. Prepare yourself. Present the idea. They may not do it. They may turn you down. But then again, they may say, you know what, this is something that I'm willing to do. And if we can get this introduced in, you know, 15 or 20 states in this next upcoming session, that would be absolutely huge. Because I guarantee you, we've got the coalition power behind it to really make this something that gets a lot of attention in the media cycle and that I think can get a lot of grassroots groundswell behind. So, but we need people to get to work.
Absolutely.
That's absolutely imperative.
And for those who are out there that want to go ahead and get involved, take action, we've got about 30 seconds, but can they, to maybe ask questions and get a little bit more information, talk with you or some of the coalition folks to gain some of that helpful background?
Absolutely. If there's anybody out there that's part of an organization or just an individual that wants to get involved, they can email me at michael@10thamendmentcenter.com. And I will respond as quickly as I can and answer your questions and provide what what I can, and if there's any other questions that I can't answer, I will find somebody who can.
Fantastic. Well, also, if you guys didn't get that, reach out to us here at The Forgotten Men. We'll put you in touch with Mike and the 10th Amendment Center folks. Mike, always a pleasure having you on. Thanks, and great talking to you, brother.
Thank you, brother. We'll talk to you soon.
All right. Everybody be back for the second hour of The Forgotten Men.